This is The Hardline, the greatest show on earth.
Well, maybe just in St. Louis.
Out of all road, freak show, something to see.
Got them lined up
and waiting, taking bullets for me.
I'm a Mack truck.
I'm chucking down a one-way street.
You better move, dance.
My tank's on E.
The Hardline with TJ Moe, Cam Jansen, John Hadley, Bob Ramsey, and who the hell else knows?
It's 1:05 in the afternoon. It is The Hard Line on 590 The Fan and 590thefan.com. My name is Jim Hewer, subbing in for TJ Moe, still on assignment skiing in Wisconsin. He'll be back tomorrow. Bob Ramsey on assignment with the Billikens against Richmond. He'll be back tomorrow, but with me in studio today, John Hadley and Matt Rocchio. We're here until 3 o'clock, and then Frank Opinion in a large morning show in the afternoon jumps in here and takes over at 3. We have a lot of things to get to. We will talk some hockey, obviously. Trade deadline yesterday. Chris Kerber will join us at the end of the show, and we'll get his thoughts on what took place and what's coming up tonight against the Nashville Predators. But a lot of baseball talk here this hour and a little bit in the next hour because things are happening. No, it's not Bryce Harper, but in Jupiter. For the St. Louis Cardinals, first off, we wake up this morning with tweets getting reported out of Jupiter that Carlos Martinez has his right arm in a sling after getting what was supposed to be just a second opinion from doctors yesterday. And then within the last hour and a half, news of a press conference for later today at 5:30 down in Jupiter by the Cardinals, and it looks like the Cardinals are going to give an extension to Miles Michaelis for 4 years and $68 million. Lots of baseball to get to. First off, let's start with the Carlos Martinez situation. I'm not surprised, John, because if you followed the Cardinals long enough, you can read between the lines, read the tea leaves, however you want to say it, and understand that when there's a little bit of a miscommunication between a player and its front office. And for a long time now, there seems to have been that with Carlos Martinez. It was the Cardinal organization let it be known in the last few days that, hey, they were not happy with what he did in the offseason and his rehab process or whatever that was to take care of the shoulder. It was supposed to be a, quote, second opinion. And then now he shows up with a arm in a sling. I'm not overly surprised on what's going on and with his arm and the discourse between the two sides.
This is just, let's see, when we were together at 550 and we had the Cardinals, the first year was 2006.
Yep.
So 2 years prior, 2 years prior to that is when I was doing my newsletter. So since 2004, I don't know that I could count on two hands, boys, the number of times that an initial injury report of any significance to a player of significance has proven to be true.
It's accurate, yeah.
I mean, it's just amazing.
Yeah.
It's just amazing how there seems to be this incredible spectrum that's covered on an injury. And I don't know what the Cardinals have to gain by it. I mean, this is an institutional problem. What the hell is the name of this manager? Schottenheimer.
The great communicator, according to most.
Marstadt.
No, that's somebody else. Completely different people.
It's not his problem. It's not Matheny's problem. It wasn't La Russa's problem. I mean, all these guys, it's Jocketty, Mozeliak. I mean, who's the guy? Who's the general manager now? Red Chaney's?
Michael Gersh.
John Mozeliak,
yes.
Basically, yes.
More or less. You know, I mean, the fact, it's just whoever's around, it's the same issue. And it's never good. It's not like they never come out and say, this individual's out 4 to 6 weeks and all of a sudden, 3 days later, now it's 2 weeks. No, it's always 2 to 4, 4 to 6, 6 to 8, and then you come back a little bit later, and now he's out for 9 years. 9 years. But despite the fact he'll be 45, he'll have no wear and tear, so he'll be just fine.
He'll be good to go. He'll have the whole year sit out. He'll be good to go. But
so aggravating.
So with the Martinez news, that clears up one thing. We know he will not be in contention for a starting rotation spot. It's still muddy, but you can eliminate him because there's no way he could get the innings built up for Carlos Martinez to be a starter if, and I say if, he's ever able to pitch, because now it looks like he's going to be down for another 3 weeks. And that means he's going to have to go to Memphis the first part of April at best. And he'll probably throw 2 or 3 innings there. And we'll, if he dominates, he'll be here quickly. And if he doesn't, look, we saw what happened with Reyes last year. Good to go. Oh, wait, he still has issues. And that's what bugs me about part of this.
That was one of the clashes, though. Didn't he go from he's soon out for the year?
Yes.
I mean, this has been going on. And the bigger thing is this has been going on for over regimes. You know, this has been a storyline since the 90s of the Cardinals reporting one thing, and then there just being a comical just consistency of.
Was he listening to a damn thing I said at the start of the show?
It blows my mind too, because I'm somebody who came in, and when I was younger, I obviously didn't see it. I didn't hear about it happening.
Look at this old bastard now.
Well, I mean,
what are you, 25?
I mean, you're close. I'm 27. But I'm just saying,
back in the day.
It was something that I constantly heard about.
Back in the day when we only had Blu-ray.
You'd think they'd be ironing these things out as the technology, you know, gets up to snuff. And yet, it's the same issues over multiple management regimes, over multiple GMs. And at this point, I can't figure out how an organization with this much money continues to have these issues.
Well, we're talking about pitchers. Let's take it a step further with the left fielder that you're hoping is going to have a bounce back year, and Marcelo Ozuna. And I wish I had the audio from Saturday when John Mozeliak was on with Danny Mac and Rick Horton from Saturday's first broadcast. And he just let it be known that, well, he's going to be a pinch hitter, but he's going to have to get out in the field and show us something that he can play. Pretty soon. He hasn't been able to throw. He's got to ramp it up at some point and show us he can play. We're hearing rumors that he's way out of shape. He's overweight. Again, back to that point of the miscommunication with the guy. And once there's a little bit of a quirk between the organization and a player, there's no thought process to try and fix it. It's just like, yeah, we're done with this. We're moving on. I mean, you already get the feel that this organization is done with Ozuna after this year. Do you not, John? Would you agree with that assessment?
I think it's very safe to say that John Mozeliak is very annoyed with Marcelo Ozuna. Very annoyed.
Would you also say that maybe you should have known that before you made the deal? A little bit about the player, a little bit more?
You would think.
I mean, we're going to say, hey, it looks like Paul Goldschmidt's a great fit for the organization. And it looks like they did their homework, and this is their kind of guy. But it's also the flip side of it is you got a guy like Ozuna you brought in a year earlier, and he's not your guy. And he doesn't fit what you're doing. And he's wearing the goofy sleeve that other people are getting frustrated. Oh, it should be red. It shouldn't be the neon yellow, blah, 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 blah. It's like you're just finding things to make it negative for him.
It's incredible. I'll be curious because Rock tries to find the good in everything. You know, you look at the Unabomber and say, well, at least you helped us get the song Tick, Tick, Boom.
Says the guy who's been quoting and deputizing the man's manifesto and his points lately. I'm the one who's gonna normalize a Unabomber thing. Uh-huh, me.
I admit being consumed and fascinated by the Unabomber. A freak of nature who almost in many ways has proven to be a modern-day Nostradamus.
That Netflix show absolutely killed it. Because I was bothered by how much some of the moments where, like, the guy in the Netflix show
about me saying a modern day Notre Dame.
I like that because I was about to say the reason why I love that point is because there was multiple times when I was watching that show where the character, the main guy who's like hunting him, has these moments where he's reading the manifesto and was like, oh, damn, that's a good point. And he kind of hates himself for it. You can't help it.
Yeah. Now, so
thanks for letting me drive off that.
But so I'm just curious, because you try to find the good and everything. You just told a individual that called into the show. We don't normally take phone calls, and chances are, since all the good guys, with the exception of Hewer, are gone, we won't do it today because I don't like talking to you people. You claimed that a caller had a good point. What was his point? Yes.
Go ahead.
Here. Call it. Take my phone call?
Jim, you're on.
Yep. Yeah. Here's my discussion with you guys. Here's this. You know, Major League Baseball in general, and I'm not counting out Ozuna and Martinez, but they're part of the mix. You know, Major League ball players, you know, they don't want to change the collective bargaining and everything else. But yet, you turn around, they're in a business investment, so to speak. They are a commodity. When you're paying somebody that much, you're telling me that you cannot, in a sense, say, oh, here's the deal. We're bucking up paying major surgery so you can be a part of our team. You're an integral part of our team. I want the rehab done here. I want it done off season done here. You are part of the team. You're a piece of the puzzle. If this amount of money I'm paying you, I believe you should be in St. Louis and you should be under the watchful eye of our physicians and our trainers. I'm going to hang up, listen to your comment. I know you don't normally take calls, but again, maybe it's something you can use for a discussion at your table. Thank
you,
gentlemen.
Thank you, Jim.
I thank you for your phone call.
Here's the thing. I think that ship has sailed for the most part nowadays. Because of the amount of money that guys are making, you can live wherever you want. You can claim that you can get any doctor you need to wherever you're living to take care of your process and your rehab or your eating habits or whatever you want. So I like the premise, and it's kind of an old school premise that we got two guys here in the room that are old school. So I would agree with that. I mean, I'll go back to when Whitey Herzog first got here. He told every player he brought in here, you got to live here. You need to stay here. The game has changed. Life has changed. The world has changed. And the reality is that's not being preached or even an option anymore.
Very interesting. Mr. Smith? Whitener? Jansen?
They're not Jansen. Here today.
Mo? Ramsey? Dino? Okay. Your turn, Rocchio.
How about you, Heads?
Sounds about right.
Your take.
Par for the course. On what? I think that, like you said, it's changed. But here's the thing. When it comes down to injuries, that's one area where I think teams should expect and should be given a lot of control over the player, mainly because I just said it. We're talking about billion-dollar organizations here. They should have the tops. I don't think we're talking about a league that has had a ton of issues over the last decade or so with medical teams pushing, you know, things that are unsafe or risky. So I don't see why they wouldn't have this. Yes, players want to be more individualized now, but this is different when we're talking about major rehabs, something that's going to be consistent. I still wonder, you know, also I think this changes timetables. Is Marcell Ozuna on the operating table, you know, October 1st if the team has, you know, more control over the situation instead of getting it done? When was it, late December or mid-December when he actually got it done? Why is there that two-month gap? And does this have anything to do with it? Because that changed the entire outlook, potentially, of the first 2 months of the season.
Because you wanted to watch the L.A. Rammies get to the Super Bowl,
yeah,
baby.
And then do what?
Let's go, Remy!
Then go full 0-2 Raiders on it.
Here's another thing I'll throw up. Because every reference I just said was old school, here's a new school approach, and it's for the organization. You can get a video, live video. You can do Skype, whatever you want. Hey, I want to see you swing the bat. When you go to your rehab or you're going to work out, I want to tune in on my phone, set up a video camera, and I want to see how you swing. I want to see how you throw. or send somebody down there. We talk about the players making millions of dollars. The organization's making millions of dollars, too. What's it going to hurt to send somebody down there to look at an individual when he's not here in town in St. Louis? It kind of works both ways on that. I mean, there's no reason why you can't send somebody to take a look at him. Now, Mo did it at the end of the offseason, a couple weeks before spring training. Didn't sound like he was too happy, but then my next question is, well, why didn't you go a month earlier and say, hey, this isn't working. You need to do this differently. Or send a doctor or a medical person.
In the parlance
down there
of Mo, somebody's got to bop down there a little bit more often.
Bop down. That's exactly what he said. There's no doubt about that.
We have a lot of baseball. Sports Illustrated came out with their top 100 players. I am shocked at some of these rankings, in particular as they relate to Cardinal players. Nolan Arenado about to sign a massive deal, giving us an idea of what Paul Goldschmidt's going to make. Obviously, more Blues talk. Big game tonight. As we know, there's a couple key components to this Blues team that will not be participating, making it even that much more tougher. But this is the last time they play in the regular season, correct?
It is. Mm-hmm. They've played, yeah. This will be the last time
so
between
the Blues
the two.
Can somehow, some way, as he did against Boston, just gut it out and get a point or two.
You get 2 points in regulation, you make up 2 points on them.
It's a four-point game, as we like to say in the world of hockey.
Absolutely.
And in Calgary. No ands, ifs, or buts.
No doubt about that. Hey, TMA Live is back and bigger than ever, coming up on March the 7th. You want to know that TMA Live will be at the Hot Shots in O'Fallon, Illinois. This is a TMA Live you're not going to want to miss. Giveaways include the custom Doug Vaughn t-shirt. Dinner with Doug for one person and three friends is up for grabs, plus Hot Shots TMA themed menus, great food and drink specials. It's a night of participation and a night of fellowship for the TMA Lemmings. It's all happening on March the 7th at Hot Shots in O'Fallon, Illinois. You don't want to miss that.
And again, O'Fallon, Illinois.
Yes.
Don't be one of those morons that say, John, I went out to the Mid Rivers Mall because I was going to go from there over to the Hot Shots. And I went to the Hot Shots, and there was no Hot Shots in the Mid Rivers Mall area by O'Fallon. It's O'Fallon, Illinois.
Not to be confused, of course, with the Fenton location, which is where you guys will be on Friday morning into afternoon through the baseball show.
Yep, 10 until 4 o'clock. We'll be out at the Hot Shots in Fenton. But on March.
This week?
Yes, yep. This Friday.
This Friday?
This Friday.
Oh, I can't wait. Okay. I love the food at Hot Shots.
Got to get the tater tots.
So Friday, we're at Hot Shots, huh?
We are. The one in Fenton.
So Cusimano, Kilcoyne, Marlowe.
590 Baseball.
590 Baseball.
590 Baseball.
TJ.
TJ and I?
Yep. Mm-hmm. Till 4 o'clock.
Huh.
It's a full day of Hot Shots.
Very nice.
Out in Fenton. So you want to stick around for all that coming up later this week. Let's take a break. We come back. That top 100 players in Major League Baseball. I'm curious to see, John, you teased a little bit where some of these Cardinals fit in the top 100 and how many they may have in there.
I can tell you this much right now. Tommy Pham is not the 59th best player in baseball.
59th?
The guy's had two good halves in his career. His entire career has been defined by two good halves.
We're going to get into that.
I got
that.
Questions about your thoughts on now on the Michaelis contract based on your top 100 thoughts, too.
It's all coming up.
Maybe we'll get to Michaelis, maybe we won't.
It's the Hard Line on 590 The Fan and 590thefan.com.